So I have another Ashley on. My last podcast was also with Ashley, but this Ashley is a classically trained chef and has worked in the catering industry. So I talked to her about pulling out some of those efficiencies from cooking and how they can maybe be used to organize or make your home more efficient. And we had a really fun conversation, again, on a houseboat. So there were some sounds and things in the background that were, again, I think add to the authenticity of the podcast, because this is about the home. So having some of those home sounds that were authentic and real and someone actually cooking in the background is kind of neat. But, you know, some other things are music and things that I just had to deal with. But for the most part, audio is fine. Brought my recording equipment, still good to go. So that was just, this is just kind of a preface. I typically just jump into it, but just kind of letting people know and apologizing for some extra sounds that are in there. With that, I hope you enjoy our discussion.
Welcome to The Intuitive Home.
All right. We're on a houseboat.
We are in a boat.
Actually, I think that's where I want to start. I was going to start somewhere else, but you're our head chef.
It has come to that. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. I was assigned that. I was assigned that by Kenny, only based on the fact that I made all of the food for their bachelor party except the barbecue. So that's like all they survived off of.
It clearly made
food.
An impact.
It did.
Yeah.
It clearly did.
Yeah.
Which was fun, which is good. You always want that.
Yeah.
You always want.
So I guess
the good feedback.
Would you mind talking a little bit about the contrast between working in your kitchen at home, which I'm assuming, like, maybe talk a little bit about what your kitchen's like, how often you cook, and then like the contrast between working in a slightly smaller kitchen with things that aren't yours. And
yeah, I think the trickiest thing is that when you go to culinary school, you get...
Oh, you've been to culinary school?
Yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. Cool.
August Escoffier in Austin. So when you go to the school, you will have every single thing that you'll need, like for anything, you know? So when you then get to the realization when you're back home, you're like, oh, my stuff sucks. Like, I need better knives. I need better pans. I need more room. I need better cutting boards, you know? So then you try to start building that out of your own kitchen. So then when you're expected to do that here and you don't even know if you're going to have what you need, it's like worrisome. So that's when you just switch over to try to do the easiest thing possible.
Yeah, back
it's like,
to basics, right?
Yeah, just go back to the basics, because if you try to get complicated with it, like, it won't work.
That's like, I'm actually excited to talk to you about that, because I wrote a blog kind of about, you know, taking the aspects of having to be having to be a chef, you have to be extremely organized, because when you're working in high stress environments, you need to know where things are. You can't be looking for things because you don't have the time to look for things. So
yeah,
I kind of talked about like the contrast there, but like I've never been a chef. I wasn't really talking from experience. This was like speculation from watching, you know, Chef's Table, which is one of my favorite shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's just so many aspects to it. You know, you can have a group of 16 people that were like in my class, and everybody wanted to do something different, it seemed like. But we were all there for the same reason, to like learn the basics, to learn the skills, to learn the techniques and things like that. So, you know, there's someone that wanted to work in a high-end restaurant, you know what I mean, and be able to work their way up from there. And then you had somebody that just wanted to see if they were good at it or not, you know. And then I went into it knowing that I already had a passion to cook. I just didn't know where I wanted to do that at. And I learned very fast that being in like an industrial kitchen or a commercial kitchen was not where I wanted to be, because it's a lot of like anxiety to be in a kitchen, especially when you're like starting at the bottom, which anybody that strives for success has to start at the bottom, you know what I mean? But sometimes when it's so fast paced for new learners, you don't get to really benefit from what they're doing in the kitchen.
Absolutely.
And I lucked out because I was able to kind of choose a couple of like my externships on where that I wanted to go. And my favorite place ended up being catering, because it was really the allowance to be creative. Like, mm-hmm. you can ask somebody, like, what do you want for dinner? They're like, oh, I don't know. Well, let's start with, like, a type. You know, do you want barbecue? Do you want American? Do you want Chinese? Do you want, you know, pho? Do you want whatever? You know, so you kind of just start there and you get an idea. Oh, yeah, that's mine. I was putting lotion on. and then you get the yes or no's, you know, of yes, we like onions. No, we hate mushrooms, you know, and you kind of start dwindling it down. But the people overall will genuinely let you be creative with it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
to create cool. the okay. dish that yeah. they want in, yeah. in a style that you think they'll enjoy. So learning that and being part of some catering and doing like tastings, like you would for a wedding and things like that beforehand and what they cook, that was fun because we got to be a part of that creation and all work together to put it together. And then, you know, see if somebody says yes to that, to like serve their family or whatever. It was really cool and was a really good experience. So I got uh-huh. to express my creativity through doing things like that.
That's cool, because then you still get mm-hmm. to do it without like the intense anxiety. Like, it's still obviously sitting yeah. around like, okay, I want to make sure they like it and that it's good, but
yeah.
it's not insanely rushed.
Yeah, you can move at your own pace.
Yeah.
So I am organized, but I still yeah. like to like plan ahead.
Sure, which is a different kind of organizing, right?
Yeah.
To like figure out, all right, you have this time, you still have to use your time wisely.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't be like, oh, we have time, and then it's the mm-hmm. day off, and you're like, oh shit, we don't have time.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So what are, if you wouldn't mind talking, what are some of the ways that you stay organized in the kitchen? And it could be, you can talk about it at home or at the catering company.
Yeah. If that's hard to, you're good. That's kind of hard to explain because everybody's organized different, you know? So in my kitchen, mm-hmm. it's organized by, like sentencing, I guess, you know, like if I know that I'm going to start cutting food, then I start at like one corner of the kitchen and I know my knives are there. I know my mm-hmm. cutting boards are right there, which I think almost everybody's house is kind of set up
yeah,
like
more
that,
or less, it's not too
you know,
much
so
crazy.
It's not too much different.
But for me, it's always interesting to hear, like, do you keep your knives in a drawer? Do you like the magnet? Do you prefer to use a block?
It depends on, I think, what type of knife you're using. Mm. You know, so if I was using something for fish, I need a fillet knife and I want it to be super, super sharp. So I would probably use a magnet because it wouldn't scrape against the board or it wouldn't be in a drawer nicking its edges, you know,
yeah.
and getting dull
that's
over the time.
What you think about.
Mm-hmm. So I would preferably, if I had it my way, have the long magnet, you know, that's
yes.
just right there.
Yes. All
I don't have
there.
To look twice,
yeah.
you know,
to,
and I know it's getting,
an extra step
yeah,
get
that
it.
It's not getting dull by not being used. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
that's a really important one.
Oh, okay. That's a good one.
The knife is everything.
The knives
are
that's
everything.
Your essential tool as a chef, right? Like, mm-hmm. like I would say for like makers, it's either a saw, which is still a cutting tool,
right?
Or, I mean, I guess. Well, I mean, you have a bunch, but I'd say it's probably like the saw.
If you were doing meat.
What?
If you were doing meat.
No, I'm talking about for makers, for like.
Oh, right. Oh, word
yeah.
workers.
Yeah.
yeah.
If I'm contrasting.
I was like when would I
do.
Use a saw? Yeah.
yeah
cut through some bone.
no,
yeah.
But like you,
you
have,
always
like,
have
that
one
like,
thing that you just have to have.
Yeah. You, mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you got to be getting through something or making something a
yeah,
different size.
Exactly.
You, it's your, the knives. What knives do you use? Do you get them like custom
made? No. It's been a long journey of trying to like find knives that you like. Everybody's different.
Mm-hmm.
I think right now my head's more in like a Japanese style knife.
It's Japanese, they know how to make blades,
I know.
Don't
they're
they?
Just they're so light mm-hmm. and yet like so strong, so easy to sharpen. You get a set when you go to culinary school and it's good. It's I don't think it's the best, like the top line. But it's called Mercer and but learning with them is really good, and they make more quality quality knives. But yeah, that is like the
most
important.
Oh dang it! It's the anime about cooking.
An anime or?
Yeah, anime.
I don't think we have.
I'll try to remember it. Dang it! Piss! I can't remember it. But it's just like they go to a chef school, and like every time they make something that's delicious, they like basically have an orgasm and their like clothes fly off.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. They have a foodgasm.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is.
They do. They have a foodgasm.
It's a pretty good show. So I guess let's go into kind of the other questions I had for you. Where do you currently live? Why do you live there? And why did you choose to live there? Like the area you live in specifically, not just like, cause you guys are in San Antonio, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you live in
San
Antonio.
We just hit 4 years being there of moving there from Austin.
Okay. So I guess why'd you move to San Antonio, and then further in, how did you find like the current, cause obviously you're San Antonio, but then you have your smaller cities and neighborhoods. Like how did you find the neighborhood and choose the neighborhood that you live in?
Yeah. So Cody was recruited by a doctor for a doctor's office that they had just opened in San Antonio. And when that happened, ironically, at the same exact moment, I was working for the Omni Barton Creek Spa and Resort, and they were going to start doing like shut down some part of the resort to do a ridiculously large remodel. It was supposed to start in stages, and then they just decided to close it down all the way. So it was just kind of this thing where the stars aligned, and I then like wouldn't have a job because there was no, and I was the manager, so they didn't have a spa manager position anywhere else that was close. So it was kind of up in the air. And then we met with those doctors. They made an offer. We really talked about it. We looked at it. The biggest thing at the time was just the living expenses, like the cost of living in Austin compared to San Antonio, because at the time it wouldn't have been like a full like move up in pay, you know. It's kind of just would have been stagnant, and it would have eventually, you know, increased, but since it was such a brand new clinic, like we didn't know where that was going to go. And we just started doing that comparison. You know, I at the time was taking my son that was about 2.5 or 3 to daycare, and it was part-time, so Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and snacks were included. That's it. I still had to take him meals, and that was costing us almost like, you know, $1,200-$1,300 a month for part-time.
Jeez.
Just to put him in daycare.
Daycare is crazy expensive, and it's like,
yeah,
that's so tough because you're also trying to like pay for everything else.
Yeah, exactly. And so I don't know how we managed it, honestly. I think we found a really, really decent babysitter to help us out on the other days. And then I had to work the weekends, and Cody didn't work weekends back then. So, you know, and we just traded off, you know, on these days of with them. So just comparing that and then coming here to San Antonio, to be able to find like a full-time daycare, all meals included, it went from like, you know, $280 for part-time and no meals included to San Antonio full-time, all meals included, all snacks and everything including, and like full teachers that were actually like certified, like $180
wow
a week, you know. Here, which is insane.
That's,
I mean, that was just
huge,
one big thing that we looked at, and just we were living in Austin at the time, paying like I think like $1,200 in rent for this itty bitty little 2-bedroom townhome, you know, with no yard and a little dog and things like that. And we found a rental property in San Antonio that we're still at, you know, just because we love it, you know, because we're trying to get into the buying process, but that is, you know, huge, huge yard, huge, amazing, quiet neighborhood for like $1,400. And it's so spacious. You know, we have so much room. Now we have 2 kids now, and it's perfect. And just
that's great.
Starting to go down those things, you know, like what do we need? We need a place to live. We need, you know, daycare. We need all this. And comparing them in the 2 places and seeing what that change would be and that drop in that living expense across the board was immense. I think it went down at least like 30-40% of the cost of living to move to San Antonio from Austin.
It's like, yeah, I need money to do other things.
Yeah.
Much better.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, cool. So then how was the decision made for the, like, you, where your apartment is? Like, how did you pick that neighborhood?
So we are in a house.
House.
No, yeah. So we went from a townhome that was crappy to like a house in San Antonio. So it was like a major upgrade. So we based our location on his job and his office. So he is like a physician liaison, marketing director. So we knew he wouldn't be inside the clinic as much, but there were still things that, you know, needed to be like learned and participated in. And so we based it somewhere we knew that it would be close, but knowing at the time that we were going to possibly be taking over like a whole new city and a whole new town to learn, we wanted somewhere located where it would be easy to get to places. So in Austin, you just have 35 and you have Mopac. That's it. And you can just go across. Good luck with that. And in San Antonio, they have these loops. You can get to all these loops.
Loops of highways, you're saying?
Yeah, highways and like major roadways. And it's just like, so there's, if you go to San Antonio, it's like, oh, are you inner circle or outer circle? You know, just depending on where
you are.
And it just goes all the way around.
Huh.
It's like a big Target and downtown, like the center of it. And it just keeps going.
Oh, now I'm going to go look at this. This is
fascinating. It's awesome. It's really cool.
Because that's one thing a lot of people don't think about when living in a city is like the layout of the city and like the road structure. Like that's something I actually do love about Phoenix. Is it's just a giant grid, and I know, you know, some people hate it, but I love it because every you know where you are at all times within the city.
Yeah,
because you can be like, okay, are you it's you know, it goes, if you're in the Avs, you know, it's from.
Yeah, I'm helping get that jet ski back in the water.
Okay.
I'm gonna see if I get super. Sorry about that.
Guys. No, you're good. I was checking. You're good.
Everything's editable.
But
you can go for Phoenix. You can go from zero to, you know, 100 avenues, 0 to 100 streets, and then you have like, you know, your president, whatever random streets that go north to south.
Yeah.
But that ability, and then a highway circles everything. So then you have these like kind of veins that you can connect to, and that has makes it so much easier to get around, especially if like road, you know, if a highway is blocked. You can still get there 5 different ways using the streets.
Exactly.
And it'll probably be faster. And even if you get there at the same time or slower, it's like sometimes I just like to be moving.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Still
it's
in
like
traffic.
That psychological, like,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So that had something to do with it when we looked and things like that. So we picked a place that would be easy to get downtown. It would be easy to get to the clinic. My family literally is a straight shot on one major highway one way, and then Austin is 35 the other way, and we can just hop on in 2 different places. And then to drive out here to Arizona, we just hop on 10. And it's not as congested as people think it is. Like, they really are like, oh god, you live in San Antonio. Be like, it's so massive. It is so massive. There's just things everywhere in little towns and communities and things like that. So it was good.
Cool. So what's the thing under $100 that you bought for your home that brings you a tremendous amount of joy?
Under $100. At the moment, I would have to say our bubble machine.
Bubble machine?
It does.
What are you making bubble? Like
it's like a bubble machine. Yeah, it's
like soap bubble machine, like they're floating around popping.
Yes, like, and they're huge.
I would say.
I know it sounds so
coffee
random.
Burritos. But I can see how like kind of just like it's a little thing you normally wouldn't have in there that when you turn it on, you just see bubbles floating around with like the, you see them glisten. Yeah.
And we have a little cat, we have a dog, and she just dies. She loves it. She absolutely loves it. We've taken it to the beach, you know, and shared it, you know, with it going down the beach. And just, it is so funny to see adults get enjoyment from it as well.
Yeah,
and then you get creative with it, because even though it does make its own bubbles, you have people out there that ended up showing up with like wire, and they were twisting wire into like the big ones or big shapes, dipping it in there, and then just running, making these huge bubbles. And it just like triggers this avalanche of bubbles,
play.
You know, of play. Yeah. And I think that's,
you can move this as much as you need.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah. I think that's like weirdly, I think at the moment right now that is like the kids absolutely love it. We love watching it. You know, the animals love it. And then if you see other people do it, like, I don't think there's a person in the world that I've met that's like, no, we hate bubbles.
Shit,
it just brings joy, you know, and it's so fun.
I'm getting a bubble machine, man.
It'll change your life.
I believe it. Those
like it
things.
Is. It's so weird and so funny to think about.
I love those small little experiences that, you know.
Mm-hmm. And we take it everywhere. Like we obviously didn't hear, you know, because we flew and stuff. I know. I should have put one in my
How
Walmart
big is
order.
It?
Not very big. It would just be like this, like a gallon, you know, a gallon jug of something, and you just fill it up, and it just rocks and rolls. And it's just, it's just fun.
Love it. Okay. I'll kind of just answer that. I'm going to ask it again, and maybe you'll come up with a different answer for this question. What's something that might be different from the norm that you do or have added to your home that makes your home experience like 10x better?
That we've added or just how it is?
That you've added, like something that you bought or added on or like.
I think that's a hard one.
All about the hard questions here.
It is. That is a hard question.
I think we do.
I don't know. I think it's not something that we've bought. I think it's like our creativity that we've come up with the things that we've bought. So,
love it.
Like my son outgrew one of those like little Tykes, like basketball, like plastic hoop things, right? It just stands up in a hoop and you can adjust it high or low. And we have disc golfs, but like our discs that you would do disc golf with. Mm-hmm. And we don't have like a bucket or we don't have a net. We don't have a chain or anything. But then we had like a soccer goal. So Cody literally put up the like little soccer, like, you know, the pop-up soccer net, put the little Tykes like basketball hoop in front of it. And then we were just throwing discs at it, you know, just seeing like, oh, if you get it in the net, like it's 1 point. Oh, if you get it bounce off the backboard and then through the little plastic hoop, it's whatever, you know what I mean? So it's like we've done that. We have
I love that everything with you guys is about play. It seems like you guys
we
really
try
like to play.
We try
have a good time. I mean, being here, it's been such a good time with you guys.
Thanks. It has been with you too. Yeah, it is. We obviously like get things done, but it is. It's just, I think that's, maybe that is like the overall answer, but if you would have asked me 10 years ago, if I would have been that fun at this age, I would have said no. Like, no, I'm not. I would be so uptight and, you know, but when you have kids and then you find somebody that is their nature, like I call him Peter Pan because he's older, but he doesn't grow up. You know, he's still like a kid. I think every woman will probably say that about their spouse, but
I don't know about that.
maybe not. Or like at some point, you know, but he is mature. It's just not immature. It's just the lighthearted, the fun, just fly with it type thing. So that's, I think that we just create those experiences more than buying the things or having the things or adding the things. So our house is also a loop. It's very weird. It's a very old house. It's like 1972, I think.
Oh, interesting.
And so there's just this circle in the center. So when you walk in the door, there's the dining room. You can go through the dining room, into the kitchen, in through the breakfast area, in through the living room, and then back down the hall to the front door. Like it's literally a circle.
That's a good layout. That's how my apartment kind of is too. I can loop through it like my kitchen, dining room, living room, bedroom, bathroom, and then all the way back around.
Yeah. And, you know, that makes it so fun for Nerf Wars, you know, because you just run in circles. And you just go, and we only have a one story.
Go kart races.
if our go karts would fit, or like they have little scooters.
Wait,
you know?
Have go karts?
No, okay. We don't. No, we don't have anything like that just yet. We just have like Nerf Wars.
Okay.
And they have like their little scooters and stuff that they'll do in the circle and things like that. So it just is a layout that we've just created. So it's literally just, it's the lap, it's the loop, and it just works. It works well.
I like it. Is there any area of your home disorganized? And what is like the most disorganized area of your house?
Ironically enough, my kitchen.
Your kitchen, really?
It's organized, but then it's like not organized.
Uh-huh.
Because I feel like I'm always either like changing things or making them more accessible to the kids. Like now that they're getting older, like 7 years old, sure. Like you can make cereal, you know? So ironically enough, it's like,
yeah.
I feel like it's unorganized because you have the mix of like adult objects and you have like the kid objects and mm-hmm. plastic objects. And then, you know, then you have to still cook, but then yeah. my 2 year old is still getting everything. So I feel like right now uh-huh. that's my most unorganized spot. And we are, like I said, we have my brother-in-law living with us temporarily. He just moved back from Virginia. So it's like also him trying to be helpful and mm-hmm. unload dishes, but he doesn't really know where they go.
So he needs to not do it.
Yeah. So like. I'm like, it's really okay. It's
like, just leave it. But he's probably, you know, he's trying to be like,
They're trying to be helpful.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just like, it's okay.
It's not where they go.
Yeah.
A good little thing to maybe do is put like colored tape on the bottom of them and put a colored tape where they go.
That could help.
And then.
Oh, what about those little like the stickers that you see at garage sales that people put like 5 cents on?
Oh, that's a good way. Yeah, that's actually a good way to do it.
The little dots.
Yeah.
They're just already made up and peel and stick. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Although I don't know how well those will run through the dishwasher.
Never know unless you find out. I'm just going to start engraving
things. Give it a try. Just start it and then like they'll run out and
we'll see how far it
goes. They're not expensive, so you can just keep putting new ones on. Yeah, that's good. So is that something too that you're thinking about when you move? Like how old are your kids again?
7 and 2.5.
7 and 2.5. So you have a decent amount of years left with them being kids.
Yeah.
So like in the new house, when you move, are you looking at like, all right, maybe having a separate area for like kids food, a separate area for kids food than for and kid items and yes. plates and things.
So the house that we're in right now doesn't actually have a pantry. We've had to turn our like laundry room into one. Like we had to buy a whole shelving system.
Uh-huh.
So it's such a hassle. But yes and no. That's also a hard thing. I want to create something that's in my pantry that is like their area, but not the easiest to get into because then they'll just eat everything.
I might
if you like if you like turn
right,
your back
all the candy we put up against above the
oh my gosh like there's above this the chips. Refrigerator there's this chips they go through a massive amount of chips all the time like
of course
so much
they're delicious
they are
the salty
so
goodness.
Yeah it's something I want to consider is that sorting and making it easy like having their own little shelf
mm-hmm.
you know and things like that that's divided you know what I mean so and I just don't we don't have that set up just yet because I don't want to go through the process of doing it right now and buying the things that I want like the containers and organizing and labeling and things and then move and have something get lost or broken or whatever
although doing that could make it easier because if they're all in their container you just fit them nicely into a box and then
you say that you but again three boys like in one house.
Oh, yeah.
Cody sometimes is.
Fair enough.
Something will probably happen to those.
All right.
But that's okay.
All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up. Is there anything you'd like to promote or say?
No, thanks. It's fun. I think it's fun that people.
You don't
have to people
shout
and you
out your Instagram
doing
or anything?
This.
Okay.
No. Right.
You don't have to. Appreciate it.
I know.
Coming on.
Yeah. I mean, my Instagram is just my kids and my food. So it's like if you're into that, you can check it out.
Welcome
but no,
to you can give me the link.
Yeah, no, it's fun. It's fun and it's nice that you're doing this. I don't feel like there's a lot of this happening these days of just like chatting and just like randomly talking about things and being curious about somebody else and not just yourself.
That's what it's all about. Just talk about other people. Try to do as much as I can. Because everyone's pretty interesting, especially on this trip. I mean,
oh yeah.
Last night I was sitting around the fire, just like appreciating being here. I mean, like, damn, this is like a lot of people would probably pay a lot of money to experience this, but also just to like have access to the people who are here.
Yeah,
a lot of these people are like high level executives and smart people that you know a lot of people mm-hmm. want access to and be able to hang out and party with them.
And yeah, and just be side by side.
Be relaxed with them and not in a business environment. Like, that's pretty sweet.
It really is. Yeah. It really is. And I think that those type of people enjoy it as well, that are in those positions, you know, because they're probably looked at a certain way all the time. And here it's just like...
Yeah, they can be like, okay, I can...
Anybody can be anything.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, you do it. Cool.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Cool. Thanks.
Gracias.